time now here in Free Range Radio to move to As the Worm Turns. And this morning we have some special guests, Don and Daff from Zephyros Farms. Good morning.
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 Hey there. How are you all?
Oh, we're good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Had a fun weekend. Gorgeous weather.
Oh, so warm, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Totally. The list is piled up for us.
Uh-huh.
You can see everything.
Okay. And so I thought maybe we should start with just a basic kind of introduction for our listeners who are may not be aware of who you all are and what you do.
Sure.
So introduce yourself.
Yeah, Daphne and I run Zephyros Farm and Garden. We're out here on Bone Mesa between Paoni and Hotchkiss. We grow a really wide diversity of cut flowers and vegetables. And, yeah, we do events, have concerts and weddings out here. We have classes and farm camps and kids out here all the time. And we have 7 greenhouses, which is mostly where we're working now, and a bunch of pasture, small family orchard. And
you have livestock, too, don't you?
We do. We've probably scaled down in the last years to more of a sort of a small home scale, homesteader. So we have goats for milk production, and then every year we raise some lambs and sometimes pigs and chickens for meat and chickens for eggs. But we're not really taking that.
Right, not as production.
Yep.
If you've been tuned in here recently to As the Worm Turns, you know we've been talking about biodynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that a practice that you all follow as well?
Yes, we are definitely being guided by friends and community members, and definitely our interest is in that area. Pat Frazier and several folks who work with us, our friend Molly Moore, are also very great guiding biodynamic friends. As an everyday practice, we try to get the preparations out and for us, it's more of a learning process, and we're still very much beginners and newbies in it, but we fully support the biodynamic movement going on.
Oh, okay. So that's not something that you're fully operating under.
We try to, do our compost biodynamically do get some preps out, but we've got a lot of balls up in the air, so sometimes things don't get quite done, but
sure.
The intention and the consciousness of it are definitely there.
All right, great. So what do you want to tell us about your what you all are doing with the greenhouse these days? And
sure. Right now we're getting a bunch of starts going. We have a small little nursery that we sell our organic veggie starts and flowers, and then also we're doing all of the production for our cut flowers and our veg for the farm as well.
So
it's amazing always to me how fast the greenhouse can go from January into the end of February, how fast we can fill up those tables. But we just planted out in our high tunnels also, we're prepping to, plant in there, and we've planted our sweet peas and for cut flowers, and we've planted also some Godetia, which is another cut flower. So the cut flowers are generally the earlier flowers that we start because we do a lot of high tunnel production of the cut flowers. So,
and I'm sorry, this is, obviously a measure of ignorance, but so high tunnels,
yeah.
Right, so did the plants grow in those greenhouses? You seed them there and then grow throughout their life cycle?
Yeah. So we have a propagation house, and that's where we do babies, basically our little plant babies in cells and flats and things like that. And then we'll transplant them sometimes, or we'll direct seed into a high tunnel. And our high tunnels are about 30 by 100 feet, give or take. A few feet here or there,
uh-huh.
And they are very just plastic-covered structures, greenhouse structures in the field that we can drive a tractor through. So they're not heated. They're out there, and they just provide a great sort of extended season growth for us
sure.
on the farm. So the things like the sweet peas, We're pushing the envelope, so we start them in the propagation house, and then we transplanted them because we want as early production as we can get for those. And then things like Odisha, you know, we're looking to hit that window for our first markets so that we come with the greatest diversity of flowers and veg and plants.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so what vegetables do you have seeded at this point?
We have lots of onions. Also, for the tunnels, we have our kales and our salad greens and arugula. And some of those we're not doing as starts. We've direct seeded those. And we have a greens. We call it the greens house, little greens. And so that's where we do it. Kind of falling apart, but
okay.
it's still hanging on and
functional.
Still providing food. So we have our spinach and arugula that I'm going to be cutting off of, and what else do we have in there? Kale and
so you're already eating from there.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Just now.
She says nonchalantly.
Yeah.
Of course.
Good. And then we also have some, have some head lettuce and kales and wrap and. Radish and, anything that we can push sort of for our early food production.
Sure.
Is going on now.
Okay.
So it's a great microclimate. So what we'd be waiting, to seed more in April outside, we're seeding, it's happening.
Right.
In those tunnels that are
ready.
Unheated. Yeah.
Right. And then what about things like tomatoes, peppers, eggplants?
Yeah, so I just soaked all of our pepper seed, and it's the technique that we use. And
How long do you soak them for?
About 3 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
And it helps because peppers otherwise take a long time to germinate.
Uh-huh.
So it just imbibes them with water and sort of speeds up the process.
Sure.
And they like it hot and... with some humidity and moisture. So we'll get them on a nice heating pad in the greenhouse, and then we'll get them to germinate, and then we'll start the process of bumping them up into larger size cells and into pots that we'll sell or we'll also plant out here on the farm.
And so those pepper plants will be planted out into the ground or in a high tunnel?
These pepper plants are going to be planted out. This is what we're starting for our sales and for planting out into the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that won't happen until, third week of May.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
Not for quite a while, but just in terms of getting the plants ready.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you're inspiring me.
Oh, good. We like to inspire.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else would you want to share about your operations there?
The other thing that we're doing right now this week is each year we take a high tunnel and we pull the plastic off of it sort of based on how it's performing. There's something about keeping the soil covered with plastic that you tend to see a buildup of salts and sometimes insects. And so typically in November we try to get a bit of a cover crop established and then pull the plastic off of a greenhouse. And so now that the snow has melted off and we can get out there, we'll be putting plastic back on to one of the high tunnels so that it'll be ready to plant by the end of March. It takes quite a long time actually for the soil to dry out after having absorbed all that snow and
sure.
rain and everything from the winter.
Right.
But we found it really, really helps.
And what is it that you think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what do you think it is about being covered with that plastic for that length of time to cause it to have that buildup?
It's a good question. It's in part it just doesn't probably get as much moisture. Typically we don't water these high tunnels that much in the winter. We had one that had kale and lettuce and all sorts of stuff in it that we just tilled under. Mm-hmm. To prepare it for planting now, for the next month. And so that one was getting watered. And the other ones get watered a little bit, but not anything like the kind of water. And the water is really what sort of helps to push the soils, the salts down into the groundwater.
Okay.
And out.
What you find is a nice improvement in the soil composition. So the soil starts to seem way more compacted. There's less life. It just seems like it sort of infuses those life, that that life into it. It's a breath of, you know, fresh.
Well, the fresh air.
Yeah.
no pun intended.
You know, those life forces can get into it a little more, and everything just is more alive. I think the microbial life is more alive. They get that freeze and thaw, and they get the, you know, they just get real moisture and deep moisture, and, you know, it's just exposed to the elements. And I don't know if Donnie mentioned, but we did also put a cover crop in that house to
right.
really help build up the organic matter and soil composition as well. So,
and then I would imagine the pest could build up, too, because if they don't have free range.
The frost is good at that, at sort of knocking back any pest populations that
sure.
have built up. That, you know, because basically these houses, we have plants survive in them if you keep the plastic on more like a zone 7. So you're bumping it up by a zone and a half.
Okay.
And then
a planting zone. That's what your climate zone.
The planting zone. Mm-hmm. And so when you take it off. You know, the bugs also can live at, you know, more at a warmer temperature.
Sure.
So if you take it off, you're sort of exposing them, knocking back the populations, which
sure.
is helpful.
Sure. That makes sense. All right. Great. Well, we really do appreciate hearing from you today and helping out while Lance is gone.
Yeah.
And I understand you're going to be calling again next week.
Yep.
Okay. So I want to encourage our listeners, if you have any questions for Don and Daft, then to please give a, you can either call here at the station, 527-4868, 1866, KVNF Now, or check on our website at kvnf.org. Look under the short features, and there's a place there where you can make comments for As the Worm Turns. So again, thanks a lot. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.